Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Carla Torbidone from the Meta Center. So tell me a little bit about the Meta Center.
So the Meta Center provides support services to approximately 500 adults and youth with developmental disabilities. It provides a whole array of services. So we have day program services, and they run from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. Monday to Friday. And the day program, the activities vary, so they can be academic, recreational, as well as community outings. We also provide respite services, and those are available on the weekends and the evenings and over the summer months. And this offers families and caregivers some temporary relief. Meta Center also provides residential services. We have 22 homes throughout the GTA where we provide a comfortable and family-like atmosphere. And the individuals we serve live in these homes, and they receive 24-hour support and care. In addition to that, we also have a supported independent living program, and we support individuals living in near independence in the community. So the individuals in supported independent living are supported daily with living skills, such as banking, shopping, menu prep, those sort of things.
So how do you go about spreading the word about the work you do?
Right. So we do that through social media, and also, you know, different fundraising events that we have. We'll get that out there as well. We'll get word out. And also with Developmental Services Ontario. So we're funded by the Ministry of Community and Social Services, and Developmental Services Ontario is where individuals would call to find programs. And then they direct people throughout the sector to different agencies.
So, are there any challenges in providing the services?
Certainly, there's challenges. So, unfortunately, there's not enough services for the individuals that are in need. So, there certainly is quite a long wait list. Also, there's a lack of affordable housing. So I was mentioning how we have residential services and we have group homes where individuals reside and we care for them. But with the housing market as expensive as it is, it's really difficult to buy homes to have these sort of services. And also the changing needs of the individuals that we currently serve because they're aging, that's becoming a little bit challenging as well. So we're trying to find best ways to support them and find the necessary resources that they need.
Do you see a lot of community support for the work you do?
Do we see a lot of community support?
Yes.
Definitely. We do. Certainly more would help. We try to integrate the individuals we serve in the community as much as possible because, you know, a majority of their lives, and historically, they've been quite segregated. Finding it difficult to find them employment, not too many opportunities there. So it would be nice to be more well received when it comes to employment, and definitely just to give, you know, the individuals we serve an opportunity, because I know they can prove to, you know, do just as well as any other person.
So, in your time with the Meta Center, has there been any success case that stands out for you?
Several, with the individuals we serve, you mean?
Yes.
You know what, all the time. I witness progression all the time in their everyday life skills. Certainly. So, you know, they'll come in having a little bit or just being less independent. And then over the years, as, you know, we help them to develop those skills, we find them to become more independent and certainly more involved in the community. So, yes.
So, are there any projects on the horizon for the center?
So, currently we are opening up a new location in York Region. We do have a day program there, but the day program is moving. And it's a new build, and it's going to be a state-of-the-art facility, so we're really excited about that. There's just so much going on all the time, and like I said, we provide so many services. But right now, that's probably the biggest project that's coming to an end that we're really excited about.
So, in terms of the new facility,
yes.
I trust that accessibility is included in the equation.
Absolutely.
So, can you tell me about some of the features that will be on hand for the clients?
Oh, certainly. So, well, it is all one floor, so that certainly makes it easier. There's not two levels. There will be wheelchair accessible doors everywhere. The door frames, of course, as well, will allow for wheelchairs to pass. We're going to have a lot of assistive devices in the building to help out. I'm trying to think offhand. I wish I had the information in front of me, to be honest with you. But certainly, like I said, certainly all the classrooms and whatnot are going to be accessible for individuals with disabilities.
So, if you could send any message to the community about why inclusion for these individuals you work with is important, what would you say?
I'd say it's certainly important to enhance their quality of life. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's our main objective here at the Meta Center. And certainly having them involved in the community and feeling included certainly would enhance just their overall quality of life, as it does for all of us.
So, if you could see anything added to the center, something for the benefit of the clients, what would it be?
I think more if we could expand so that we can provide more services to get individuals off the wait list, and definitely more homes for them to live in, again, because there are a lot of individuals on a wait list in need for housing and in need for support.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Hey, thank you.
Of course. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from DJ Dave Squeaky Wheels. He'll be telling us a little bit about what he's been up to in terms of disability life. So it's been a while since you've been on. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the accessibility challenges and successes you've seen since then?
That's a difficult question, Cam, because pretty much half my friends' houses are inaccessible. Not by any fault of their own, but, you know, scares them in the factor there. Not to sound overly critical, but I find, like, it's a lot when I travel mostly. Mostly, like, the buildings, I find, can be a little bit iffy. Again, depending on the date and depending on, you know, when it was built, all that comes in the factor. Even when I did shows at, like, the comedy club here in town, it was difficult to put in an elevator because I spoke to a friend of mine who was in the healthcare industry. And he said that they have a difficult time, I get around that red tape, especially if it's like a narrow stairway. So like the only type of elevator they would be able to put in, the best of my knowledge, would be an industrial type elevator. But again, don't quote me on that. So I don't know. I mean, me personally, like I said, I just kind of deal with it. I know that my disability is different than a lot of people. Like I can handle stairs for the most part, and people can handle carrying my butt up them. So that always comes in handy. I don't know. I like I said, it varies from case to case, honestly.
So, do you see any progress being made for spaces that are inaccessible?
Oh, yeah. I would say a lot of public buildings gotten a lot better. A lot of, like, newer apartments that are built. A lot of, like, the newer buildings have been a bit more updated. And, you know, even the ones that aren't, man. I mean, you probably find this for the most part. People are, for the most part, quite accommodating because they want your business. But at the end of the day, money talks, you know, and the other stuff walks. So I think people are more mindful of that. They realize that it's not just the quote-unquote niche market or whatever they'd like to frame it in the past. There's a lot of people, like I said, who go out and do stuff. It's hilarious because my provider who, like, helps with my electric wheelchair, they said that I'm quote-unquote an active user. And by active user, they define that as basically somebody who essentially just has a life, who goes out every single day, wears out the tire tread, you know, makes everybody panic at the stoplight. That's for sure another thing. in a good way. And, you know, I don't know. I already forgot the question. I think people's attitudes are changing, like a lot of issues in Canada, which we're quite lucky. In that regard.
When you mentioned being an active user and getting out and having a full life, isn't that the right of every person with a disability?
Oh, Cam, you're so earnest when you're asking such questions. I love the earnesty. But yeah, I think it comes back to people's attitudes and educating themselves, not just listening to stigma. We live in a time of clickbait articles. You know, media that has become a lot less reliable, so it's a little more difficult for people to kind of sift out what's the truth and what isn't. I don't know. I just say the proof is in the pudding. It's all around us, you know. There's so much legislation that's been passed to make pretty much everywhere accessible. You see it a lot on buses, too, a lot on, like, public transportation as well. Even when you take the train, depending on what type of train you have, they can bump you up to first class if you have an electric wheelchair or something like that. That of course fits the width of the car space.
So
yeah.
So what would you say is the biggest hurdle we still have to overcome?
You know, speed bumps. The biggest hurdle, honestly. I don't claim to be an expert. I just kind of call what I see, and I base it on my own experience, which you've brilliantly done with this show, and that's why I feel the most comfortable on the show.
Thank you.
Well, I think, like I said, I honestly think it's about education and making things a bit more. I have a joke in my act that I'm working on right now. It's basically about how it's very, very silly, but it's like how, like, the Kool-Aid man just ran through every building, every place to be accessible. It needs a little work. Tell, but I honestly think what can be done to improve is just spread awareness like people are doing. There's pros and cons to social media. There's pros and cons to the ability to communicate, but it definitely helped marginalized populations have a voice now. That never used to be a thing, even when I was in high school. And I can guarantee when you were coming up, there was nothing like this type of response from the community. So, I mean, I'm definitely encouraged by that. I'm definitely encouraged by the legislation that's happening in that regard. It's just going to be a matter of time in terms of how much people can afford to.
So what would you say to those in power about the need to keep this in the forefront?
It's important. It's important because we have an aging population. You know, the baby boomers are getting older. Like you said, we've talked about this in the past. Sorry if I'm reiterating this point. you have a slogan, and correct me if I'm wrong, right? It's called Disability is the New Normal, right?
Very good.
Yeah. No, I know. I did my homework, brother. I did my homework. Cam got me this really, really nice gift for my birthday like a couple years ago. Sorry, I'm pulling the curtain, you guys. He got me this really nice little gift a couple years ago for my birthday. And it was he called it the world's tiniest microphone, okay? Like the world's tiniest microphone with a piece of glass. I'm like, you've seen how I carry stuff, dude. I don't do well with glass, but you have that type of confidence in me. So I think it's that type of confidence for our future. No, I'm just kidding. That was me trying to write a speech. I would honestly say, to those in power, I would just say look at it from an individualistic perspective. You want a population that's at least informed. You want a population that's capable of the same opportunity as everybody else. There's a big distinction there. Having the opportunity and what you do with it, I think, is all you can really ask for in this day and age. People want to complain and they want to gripe and moan about what was me and what doesn't go their way. I think that's one of the beautiful things I see with people who have disabilities. Not all of us. I don't like to stereotype like that because I know what that feels like too. But I think that there definitely is a hint of resiliency to us, more so than like a lot of other groups, just because even though it's a day-to-day thing, it's tough to be a human being in general. I think that for us, we just have this resiliency, and we have this way of dealing with things that I think most people don't think about on a daily basis, not saying fault of their own, but it's just a different set of circumstances and predicaments. So I would honestly just say keep in touch with a lot of the local people at the local levels, because they kind of know what's going on more with the buildings and with the building codes. You know, it's one thing to just talk to the heads of companies and the heads of businesses, but honestly, like, go on the ground. It does something when you, like, see boots on the ground, when you see people actively trying to get involved in the community. From a genuine perspective, there's people who can smile through their teeth and they have this ulterior motive. We all know who's faking the fun.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Of course, Cameron. I'd love to do this again, brother.
Anytime.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Kingsville Folk Music Festival is back for 2018. Join us August 10th to the 12th with performances from Alan Doyle of Great Big Sea, Eugene Smith, Birds of Chicago, the David Broomberg Quintet, Fred Penner, and many more. Also featuring local musicians Max Marshall, Tara Watts, and Justin Latham. The Kingsville Folk Music Festival has established itself as one of Southwest Ontario's summer destination spots for fans and lovers of music, ranging from blues to bluegrass, Celtic to country, and roots to indie. Maps, tickets, and more information can be found at kingsvillefolkfest.org. Don't miss out on the Festival of the Summer, happening August 10th to the 12th. This event is proudly sponsored by CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor, Detroit, and beyond.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Carla Torbidone from the Meta Center and our old friend DJ Dave Squeaky Wheel. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Sridhar Ganta from Disability Rights Promotion International. So tell me a little bit about the latest happenings with your work with DRPI.
What is this happening?
The latest work.
What is this? Yeah?
Yes.
Why it's working? Yeah. So, I think that so what we do is we regularly search for new job seekers and the new employers, and then from the persons with disabilities, we'll interview them and we'll talk to them individually in person, and we'll find out the skills And then parallelly, what we do is we meet different new employers in Hyderabad, and we'll sell the skills of persons with disability and share some success stories earlier which we placed in different industries in Hyderabad, so that we'll come to know, employers will come to know that this is going to work if they are going to hire persons with disabilities in their workplace environment. So in that way, we'll approach employers and as well as interview the job seekers.
Can you give me sort of an overview of DRPI Aware as a project and your work therein?
Yeah, so they are helping us a lot in terms of providing inputs like how we have to approach the employer and what we have to do when the job placement has done, and we need to take care of their accessibility part, maybe between here in Hyderabad.
So, can you tell me a little bit about some of the successes you've seen with DRPI Aware?
Yeah. So, I'll share the, my process. So, of the, what we do in a regular basis. So, as of now, I said, these are the first main things we do. Then, what we do is we manage the data. I mean, we prepare a Excel sheet with all the candidates, I mean, job seekers, data in that. And whenever the requirement comes, then we'll screen from the database and we'll pass interview them in person and we'll do the lineup accordingly. And the best part is what in India, what we're doing is we'll connect with the job seekers as well as the employers on a regular basis. We have the WhatsApp is the main communication in Hyderabad. So what we do is we regularly be in touch with them and we'll talk to them through the WhatsApp and we'll ask them to share their experiences, age, or if we get any new candidates, then we'll start with his or her experience details and education details and disability type and where they'll stay. So that accordingly, then we'll go and meet them and we'll start preparing the new data types to for further job purposes. And then what we do is, so after meeting the employer, we have a specific requirement request form. It indicates 1 to 15 points, stating that what kind of candidates they're looking in terms of education, qualification, and skills, age, male or female, what kind of skills they required in terms of computer or any other kind of thing. So that based on that requirement, from our database, we'll find the match exactly and line up to the employer for the interview process.
So
then thereafter, after that, what we do is we continuously follow up with the candidate and as well as the employer, and we'll find out the we'll fix the interview date and time, and we'll ensure the job seekers to present on the day for the interview. And if employers require any assistance in terms of like suppose if the driver is any in interview, any persons with hearing impairment is participating, so that we deploy one sign language interpreter for smooth the interview process. Then after interviewing that, then we'll follow up with the employer, like how many are selected and how many are rejected and how many are hold. So that we'll come to, we'll get the clear picture on that. And if anybody got selected, then we'll send them the congratulations message. And if anybody got rejected, then we'll talk to them and we'll share the reasons with them. And for the reasons to improve for the next interview process in that. So that is the one thing. And also what we do is we, after joining the candidate, so we deploy, as I said, the sign language interpreter for induction and training. And we'll take care of the accessibility part before joining. So while interviewing, we'll make sure the job seekers to go the workstation and have a look so that they'll come to know what exactly they are going to do in their daily job activities. And after joining, in the data science is still 2 months, we regularly follow up with the job seeker as well as the employer. And we'll address if they have facing any challenges from employer end as well as the employee with the disabilities. So that we'll go there and we'll address the issues. And these are the things we do on a regular basis. And after that, what we do is we'll maintain a tracker exactly like how many candidates we have placed and how many employers we have met in a month. So this we'll keep on a track and on a weekly basis and a monthly basis. And now we'll write a narrative report on every 6 months like that. So this I will do on an hour daily basis. Any specific questions from your end?
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. Employment rights, my friends. One of the hot-button issues when it comes to all of disability life. And the fact is, it's something that has to have universal consideration. North America, we're lucky. We have things like accommodations and different sources of funding for people with disabilities who are unable to work. But you can't allow yourself to get locked into the idea that I can't work, that I have nothing to contribute. It's really a matter of raising awareness different parts of the world. I was saying to a friend of mine recently that in some places, disability is still regarded as a curse, and people with various conditions are just not as accepted as they should be. Now, it's easy for us who have come from our background and our understanding to say to these places, yeah, people with disabilities are just members of society with something to contribute. But the fact is, as easy as it is for us to understand and to say that, it can be an ongoing process of education, of working with employers, of working with the public, just to make it possible for doors to be opened for these people who deserve just as much as anyone in society to work and to prosper by what their skills are, by what their hopes are, their dreams. Fact is, no one person has a right to say to another that you have nothing to contribute, that you shouldn't be involved. Now, regardless of where a person is or what it is that they've been drawn to do, regardless of the disability, regardless of the history, the way a person walks, thinks, speaks, moves, sees, regardless of any of that, it's my sincere belief we all have something to contribute. And getting these people to an employment situation is fine. You have a group there. They sort of set up the base for it. And it's easy when people are around to say, oh yeah, we want to embrace these ideals. But it is a matter of empowerment for getting people with disabilities to know themselves. They have rights. They have contributions to make. Monitoring is the watchword, my friends. It's easy to give someone the right tools to work with, but if you can teach them how to build with those tools, then and only then can they start to carve out a path for themselves. And a person with a disability is no less entitled to self-determination than anyone else in society. And raising awareness raises the bar for us all. On a world stage, people with disabilities are just as much players as anyone else. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.